This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington, and here are the headlines from some of the stories we're following today here at NPR News. Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg had surgery today to remove a cancerous tumor from her pancreas. The 75-year-old justice is expected to remain in the hospital in New York City for 7 to 10 days. And Leon Panetta, President Obama's pick to head the Central Intelligence Agency, told lawmakers at a confirmation hearing today that he sought advice from former agency chiefs about how to make up for his lack of experience in intelligence. Panetta previously served as chief of staff to President Bill Clinton. And now, neither rain nor snow nor gloom of night stays these couriers from the swift completion of their appointed rounds, but Tuesdays could be a problem. Earlier this week, the U.S. Postal Service reported a loss of $384 million in the first quarter. The Postmaster General asked Congress to give him the option to halt deliveries on one of its lower volume days, maybe Tuesdays, in order to save money. Unlike the famous motto, that decision is not yet carved in stone, so how would you feel about losing a delivery day? Give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email talk@npr.org. You can join the conversation at our website. That's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. John Potter is Postmaster General and Chief Executive Officer of the United States Postal Service. He joins us from the studio at Postal Service headquarters here in Washington. Nice to have you on the program today.
Good afternoon, Neil.
And Jack, you asked Congress to ease the 6-day delivery requirement. How likely is it that you're going to have to actually go ahead and do that?
Well, Neil, let me put it in context for those folks listening. The Postal Service delivered 9 billion pieces fewer in 2008 than it had in 2007. And this year, we think we're going to deliver perhaps 12 to 15 billion pieces fewer than we did in 2008. That's a cause, call for alarm in my mind, and we have a multi-pronged approach to how we want to move ahead. The first thing we want to do is obviously grow the business where we can. We think that we have good value in the marketplace for those folks who are out there and want to grow their business through advertising. Great time to mail a coupon. Our package services are very competitive, and they're a true value in the marketplace. Great prices. We are working very hard to cut costs. Obviously, we have to match our use of resources to this lower volume. In the first quarter alone, October, November, and December, we dropped our use of work hours by some $27 million. If you did the math, that's the equivalent of 50,000 fewer people. So we recognize we have to respond to this declining volume.
Right.
I asked Congress for a couple of things, Neil. I asked them first for relief from retiree health benefits. We pay over 10% of our revenues go to retiree health benefits. One in the form of we pay for those people who are currently retired, the cost of their benefits. In addition, we're funding a trust fund. We're paying some $5.4 billion into the trust fund. The trust fund is scheduled to be financed over 50 years with 80% of that fund paid off in the first 10. And so we've asked Congress to help us there and relax some of those payments. We're not going to walk away from our obligation, but we're in effect going back to our banker and saying we'd like to reschedule. And then last, what I said to them was, if we're not able to grow the business, if we're not able to cut costs, and if we're not able to get some help from Congress in terms of retiree health benefits, I said we might be forced to cut service. And I said the best way to do that would be to cut service to everybody one day a week during our lightest volume periods, which would be during the summer.
I just wanted to say, people wondering why the fall is your first quarter. You're, of course, working on the fiscal year that starts October 1st. So that's
I appreciate that. Thank you.
When you talk about if you had to cut one day of service to everybody, the lowest volume day, a lot of people would think the logical day would be Saturday.
Well, when I was at Congress, I said it was both Tuesday or Saturday that we might cut delivery. There are a lot of folks who like the fact that we deliver on Saturday. The public gets to see our letter carrier if they work Monday through Friday. We are the only package business that does not surcharge Saturday's delivery, so we have a lot of folks who use us on Saturday for that. And there are a lot of bill presenters and advertisers who want to reach customers and, the folks that do business with them later in the week, and so they like a Friday-Saturday delivery. So we would evaluate whether or not it would be Saturday or one day during the week that would make the most sense.
And how far down the road will it be before you think you're going to be forced to make a decision pro or con?
Well, Neil, I'm not in a position to make that decision. Right now there's a law that is built into our appropriation, and it says that we are not allowed to relax service that was provided in 1984, and at the time we were providing six-day delivery. So what I was saying to Congress was I would like them to consider providing our Board of Governors of the Postal Service the option to relax one day of delivery should our finances require us to lower our costs.
And that would be a new law, so we're some ways away from that.
I would say, given the reaction of the Senate when I testified, I would say there's going to be quite a bit of debate before that happens.
All right. Jack Potter is with us. He's the Postmaster General and Chief Executive Officer of the United States Postal Service. If you'd like to talk with him about, saving money and the possibility of losing one day of service, give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. Emily's on the line. Emily calling from Cleveland.
Hi, Neil. I just had to call and make a comment. I'm one of those people who does all of my bill paying online. My check is direct deposit. And so I actually never even open my mailbox. I don't even check my mail probably every month and a half, 2 months. And so my postmaster actually, he has to send me a little note by my door in my apartment building to actually empty my mailbox. I mean, there's nothing in the mailbox that I really need or want. So I would be all for, I guess, a day less, but I understand the consequences of that for, people that are working.
And Jack Potter, Emily's habits, I guess, illustrate part of your problems.
Well, yes, Neil, there's obviously more and more people are conducting their business online, but we have to be there for everyone, and that's part of the law. And so when you think about the demand for our service, if it goes down, then all I was asking for Congress is that we be positioned like any other business to be able to respond to that mail, that lower demand, and we don't want to do it by raising prices beyond affordability.
Emily, thanks very much for the call. We're glad you still use the radio.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Let's go to Al. Al with us from Syracuse.
Hi, how are you today?
Very well, thanks.
Nice to speak to you, Mr. Potter. I'm a 27-year veteran letter carrier, and here in the Northeast in Syracuse, being a letter carrier is not always fun and games, as you well know, I'm sure.
Not at this time of the year, no.
Not at this time of the year. I'd like to agree with Emily, first off. I've seen over the years less and less people that come to their mailbox on a daily basis. In fact, once, two, three times a week is probably more the norm than the exception. And with that in mind, do people really need mail delivery 6 days a week, or do they just like the idea that it's there if they want to go out? And I'll take your comment off the air.
Well, quickly, Al, for you, would it make a difference Tuesday or Saturday?
Well, I think everybody likes to have Saturday off, Neil, but it would not make a difference.
Okay. Just see if we get a response to Al's question, Jack Potter.
Well, I would say that the vast majority of Americans go to their mailbox every day. We have data that shows that, the vast majority of folks do that, that all mail is opened. And, yes, there have been changes in terms of people's reliance on the mail, but it's still a very, very important and vital cog in our economy. Over $1 trillion passes through the mail each year. Again, I think that the country was the mail was a very helpful to the country in terms of building the country. I think that mail is still a very, very important conduit and a vital part of our economy. So what I'm talking about when it comes to service is better matching our use of resources and our frequency of delivery, if necessary, in the future to make sure that mail stays affordable for those vast majority of Americans who use the mail.
Here's an email from Robin. I'm a resident in Erie County, I assume in Pennsylvania. On several occasions, I've made the observations that the mail I receive on Saturday is far, by and large, unimportant or junk mail. Based on this, I feel the need for mail for residential customers could easily be curtailed to Monday through Friday, though she adds, I cannot comment on commercial needs. And this from Poncho in Kansas City. I think it's a great idea to cancel Saturday deliveries. How much critical mail does anybody get on a weekend? My worry is, will the postman work more overtime to make up for deliveries like they do in the Westport branch in Kansas City, Missouri? Paying overtime to a carrier seems to me to be counterproductive. And let's go now to this email from Phil. Please ask the Postmaster General, rather than decrease our service, why don't you just up the fees for junk mail? I hate the nuisance this is. I hate its clutter. I hate seeing post office staff obliged to spend so much time with it. So why not make the junk mailers pay more, much more, rather than reduce service for the rest of us?
Well, the mail, we call it advertising mail. We consider it a very important medium. It generates quite a bit of sales for our economy. It does provide a good return for those people who advertise through the mail. In fact, that's the best return. For every dollar that you put into the mail, you get $12 worth of business. So it does provide a good return for them. However, we don't want to be in a position where we price them out of the market. I think that we have to be sensitive to the fact that the more we increase price, there's an elasticity that kicks in. The less mail we'll have, and as a result of having less mail, it'll put even more pressure on our finances and will force us to lower the service that people get if enough folks are driven out of the mail.
We're talking with Jack Potter. He's the Postmaster General and Chief Executive Officer of the United States Postal Service, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation, coming to you from NPR News. Let's get James on the air next. James with us from Wilmington, North Carolina. James, you there?
Oh, yes, I'm here.
Go ahead.
I was waiting for the intro. I appreciate that.
Okay.
I'm a letter carrier in Wilmington, North Carolina, as you've noted. And I wholeheartedly, from the other end of the customer, as a customer interface for the Postal Service, I see how important the mail service is. Where, you know, retirees, I deliver to a lot of retirees, they're waiting on checks, they're waiting on medicine. A lot of people in downtimes here, they're waiting on coupons. I think from a customer perspective on the buyer's end, where they are paying us to send advertising, they're paying us to securely deliver jewelry, bonds, you know, very important things in the mail, I think it would be a very bad idea to cut service, because that's all we do. And if we have no service to deliver, it's a punch in the pocket for the Postal Service and an injustice to the general public.
Jack Potter?
Well, first of all, let me agree wholeheartedly with what you said about the value of merchandise, the critical importance of medications that move through the mail. Obviously, we want to do that in a very timely fashion. However, we are a government entity that receives no tax dollars for what we do. So when it comes to the service that we provide, it's driven by the use of the mail. And if there's a decline in the use of the mail, and right now there's a decline in business in general, we're a good barometer of what goes on in the economy. If the economy stalls, we feel it. And so mail volume is down, and so we have to respond to that. You know, we will provide the level of service, and that, by the way, our cost to provide service grows because every time there's a new address in America, and up until recently there have been 1.8 million new addresses every year, we have to pay for that. We'd like to pay for that through the growth in mail volume. However, if the demand is not there, we have to make sure that we keep mail affordable for those seniors who rely on it and those companies that need to use the mail to conduct their business. And so we have to find this balance between cost and service. And again, one of the things that I said to Congress was, first and foremost, we'd like to have help from a retiree standpoint, what we're paying for retiree health benefits and what we're paying into the trust fund. Again, a mortgage that 50-year mortgage that we're paying off in, for the most part, in 10 years. We need that to be respread. But should we not get that done, and should the economics continue to decline, we have to, again, use the monies that come in through the mail to pay for the service level. So we might have to, again, we'd prefer not to, but we might have to reduce delivery, again, lowest volume periods by a day a week.
Terrible
and it's
decision.
Believe me, it's terrible a step we don't want to take.
Certainly. But fuel costs, I think, were the punch in the pocket. I think that, you know, in my humble opinion, I think that the fuel cost that we all suffered recently was certainly very, very hard-hitting to the Postal Service when all we do is deliver. I don't know if the idea of subsidizing fuel use when the Postal Service is forced to buy fuel on the open market, that would be a good idea or a bad idea, but I don't know that it has been considered at all.
Yeah. Well, last year, fuel cost us an extra $1 billion. We have 37,000 buildings and a fleet of about 220,000 vehicles. On the other hand, we're going to save that $1 billion this year because of the decline in fuel prices. The real issue here is the fact that we have 20 billion, that's with a B, billion fewer pieces of mail this year than we did 2 years ago. And when you look at the dollar value of that, that's $7 billion less than we had back then. And so we have to find ways of making up that loss in volume. We're doing that, as I said earlier, by cutting costs. And we're seeking to go out and talk to anyone and all customers that might use the mail more frequently. You know, we do have some great success stories. A good example is with the declining in the economy, people's behavior changed. And so recently we saw that Netflix, that the amount of mail that they send has gone up significantly because people are using their service. They're not going to the movies. They're renting the movies, and we deliver the movies to the customers at home, and then we return them back to Netflix. So, but again, it's a $7 billion problem, and it's a function of use of the mail, and not what's in the mail, but it's a function of use, and we have to respond to that. One thing I can't do, from a fiduciary standpoint, we have to make sure that we don't borrow our way out of this, because we'll dig a hole that's so deep, we don't want to risk service to the American public in our future years.
And Jack Potter, I'm sure, would urge you that if you feel strongly about this, either way, write a letter to your congressman. John Potter, thanks very much for your time today.
Thank you, Neil.
John Potter is Postmaster General and Chief Executive Officer of the United States Postal Service with us from a studio at the Postal Service headquarters here in Washington, D.C. Tomorrow, it's Science Friday. Ira Flatow will be here with a look at the latest news in animal biology, including caterpillars that pretend to be ants, plus a visit with Darwin's great-great-grandson. And we'll be back with you on Monday. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan.